祷告，我们就开始。
Let's bow our head and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you gather us around here for this summer retreat. We also thank you for giving us an opportunity to listen to how we should do our ministry to serve you and serve brothers and sisters. Will you quiet our hearts so that we can listen by our hearts, so that we can do whatever pleases you? We ask your Holy Spirit to touch us in the following sections. We pray in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
在神在圣经中给我们的圣经使命，我们早上谈了五个，接下来第六个是管家事工。
The sixth principle is stewardship ministry.
哥林多前书第六章。
First Corinthians chapter
6. 19节、20节说，你们不是自己的人，因为你们是重价买来的。
You are not of yourself, you are purchased with a high price.
所以什么是管家事工呢？是献身、献心、献上自己，好像活祭一样，在主的面前被神使用，这是管家事工。
What is the stewardship ministry? The steward ministry is to sacrifice yourself as a living sacrifice, then you can be the steward ministry.
我们怎么样可以来从事管家事工呢？
How can we to be a minister? Stewardship.
当然很简单的，首先就是先献上我们自己。
Very simply, first of all, you have to sacrifice yourself.
很多时候我们有一种趋向，总感觉我可以把我的金钱、我的时间奉献给神就够了。
Sometimes we thought that maybe if we give a monetary contribution or sacrifice some of my time, that's enough.
我们以为我们可以用物质的东西来代替把我自己献给神。
We thought that maybe a material thing could substitute us instead of us to serve God.
如果你结婚，你明白。太太喜欢丈夫的不是一些花，当然花很好，不是一个 kiss， 当然 kiss 很好，但更重要的是丈夫的心。
So if you are married, then you realize that a wife, what she appreciates, the wife was not only the flower or the kiss, although those things are very good.
如果没有把自己先献上，那么其他都是多余的。
If you do not sacrifice yourself, the other things areunnecessary.
什么是把自己献上呢？
What do you mean by sacrifice your whole self?
有一年暑假我参加，当我还在大学的时候，我参加一个工作营。
When I was in college, I attended a summer working camp.
那我们就到山地里面去为一个乡下的村庄跟学校服务，也为他们的房子、学校涂油漆。
So we went to a urban village and helped them out to do some work project.
我从大学三年级开始就学习侍奉神。
I started to learn how to serve God when I was a junior in college.
所以在那样的机会里面，也有机会就在山地里面的一个唯一的教会去参加那里的聚会。
So at that time, I had an opportunity to attend a church of the mountain people.
在那里的讲道也服侍。
And I was preaching there and then service.
教会里面有一个姐妹告诉我说，我们有一个姐妹在一个医院乡下，就是在山地里面，大约要走两个半小时的路程才可以到。
I was told there was another sister that I have to it takes about 2.5 hours to walk over there.
她说能不能请我去看看那个姐妹。
They asked me to visit that sister.
我说好。
I say okay.
所以我们就出发。
So we started to go there.
当我们到那个医院以后，看见这个姐妹真的是病得很严重。
When we were at that hospital, that sister was really sick.
她早已经知道我们工作营在山地里面工作的事情。
She already knew that we were working, have a working project in that mountainous people.
当我们见到她以后
，When we saw her,
她是患了一种肌肉萎缩症。
She was having a sickness of muscle trophy.
当我们看见她，我看见她，我就问她说：“我可以为你做什么呢？”
So when I saw her, I asked her, "What could I do for you?"
她说：“你们大概只来这里一次，以后要见到你们也不容易，可不可以？我要请你帮我一个忙。”
So she told us that I knew that it's not very easy for you to get here. Can I ask you a favor?
你说什么事呢？
I say, what kind of faith? What do you want me to do?
她说，请你为我祷告。
She said, pray for me.
我听到她的请求。
I heard her prayer.
但是我心里有难处。
But I have difficulty in my heart.
我该怎么样为她向神祷告呢？
What should I pray to God for her.
在我的眼前是一个常年卧病的病人。
In front of me there was a sister that was, she was lying in bed all the time.
她的肌肉萎缩得很厉害。
Her muscles were shrinking all the time.
两个眼睛已经失明，看不见了。
Her eyes were losing her eyesight.
两个腿还是浮肿。
And her legs were swelling.
我问她说，你要我怎样为你祷告？
So I asked her, how would you like me to pray for you?
我该为你祈求哪一种医治呢？
What kind of healing do you want me to pray for you?
长久以来我在乡下的教会服侍主。
All those times when I was serving God in this urban country church,
我为不少的人祷告过。
I have prayed for many people.
我看到因为这样的姐妹对我来说是一个很重的担子，我不晓得怎么样为她祷告。
When I saw such a sister, it became a real burden for me. I do not know how to pray for her.
后来我就回答她了。
So I answered her.
我说姐妹。
I say sister.
我要为你祷告。
I would like to pray for you.
但请你告诉我。
But please tell me.
我要祷告什么？
What would you like me to pray for you?
我要向神说什么？
What should I tell God?
因为坦白说我不晓得。
Because honestly, I don't know.What I should say.
就在那个时候，她的脸泛起了一丝笑容。
At that time, she had a little smile on her face.
她说：“哦，弟兄。”
She said, "Oh, brother."
为我向神祷告。
Pray for me to God.
当我每天躺在这个病床的时候。
When I was lying in bed.
为我向神祷告。
Pray for me to God.
至少医生、至少护士还有其他的病人可以知道我是一个基督徒。
At least the doctor or the nurses, they knew that I'm a Christian.
那时候我明白在罗马书十二章一节所讲的。
At that time, I realized that what's the real meaning of Romans chapter 12, verse 1.
什么叫做把身体献上，当作活祭献给神？
How does it mean that you have to sacrifice yourself to God as a living sacrifice?
在那一个简陋的病房里面。
In that very poor, Chamber,
他把他那残缺的身体像活祭的一样献上了。
She would like to sacrifice herself like a living sacrifice to God.
虽然是惭愧的
，although it's a handicap，
但他却是完全的。
But it's perfect.
他愿意圣灵和他同在，他愿意他的身体来见证上帝的荣耀。
She would like to witness to God with her body.
他心里所盼望的祷告是盼望众人可以看见他是一个基督徒。
So she would like to know that everybody who look at her.We know that she's a Christian.
如果我们没有办法先把自己的身体献上，那其他的服事是多余的。
If we cannot sacrifice ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, the other services are all unnecessary.
可是很多时候，我们基督徒总感觉把自己献上是一件非常难的事情。
But many times we Christians thought that to sacrifice ourselves as a living sacrifice is a very hard thing to do.
我们心里害怕。
We are very afraid.
因为我们害怕，当我真的把自己献给神的时候，上帝要把我带到一个走不通的死路。
Because if we sacrifice to God as a living sacrifice, God will lead me to a dead end street.
那带我去一个我不想去的地方。
He will lead me to a place that I would not like to go.
带我去一个我不想进的学校。
He will lead me to a school that I would not like to attend.
我总感觉，我们如果真的把自己当作活祭献给神，总有一些。我不愿意神把我带一些我不愿意去的不愿意去的地方不愿意做的事情。
And when I sacrifice myself as a living sacrifice, God have to lead me to a place I would not like to go or a thing I would not like to do.
他会阻止我跟某一个女孩来结婚。
He will stop me to marry a certain girl.
所以当我们害怕把自己身体献上，是因为我们怕失去这个，怕失去那个。
Because if we are afraid to sacrifice as a living sacrifice to God.Then we are afraid to lose something or somebody.
我们这样做是因为我们对这个活祭的意义已经失去太久了。
Because we lose the real meaning of sacrificing ourselves as a living sacrifice.
我们明白在出埃及记第三章摩西那一个看见异象的故事。
When we read about Moses in Exodus chapter 3,
当他在那里牧羊的时候，那一块地他曾经走过千百万次。
When he was being a shepherd in that area.He walked through that land for tens of thousands of times.
但就在那一天，他发现一件事情。
At that day, he discovered one thing.
他知道一件是他以前从来不知道的事情。
One thing that he never realized that before.
是的，荆棘被火烧着了。
That bush was burning.
他不是要去看荆棘烧着的事。
He did not want to go and look at the bush that was burned.
所以在经文那里有一段说，有一段话说，他就自言自语的说，我要过去看这个大异象。
So, and in one period of the scripture, it says, I would like to go and take a look at this vision.
他想不明白为什么这个荆棘烧着却没有烧毁呢？
He couldn't understand why the bush was burning but not consumed.
他知道荆棘在燃烧。
He knew that the bush was burning.
他特意要过去看个究竟。
He would like to go and take a look.
可是为什么那被烧着的荆棘却没有烧毁？
Why was the bush that was burning but not burnt?
我们错过这句话的重要性已经相当久了。
We have missed the real meaning of this burning bush for a long, long time.
其实早在摩西的时代，神已经向我们显示这个真理。
Actually, in the Old Testament, God already revealed this truth to us.
我们害怕把自己身体当作活祭献上，因为我们以为神不能工作了。
We are really afraid to sacrifice ourselves as a living sacrifice because God is not working.
我们不明白活的真理。
We don't understand the real meaning of God.
以为到了那个地步就死了。
And to a certain degree, you will be dead.
以为就没有出路了，没有前途了。
And there's no exit, no future.
是的，在旧约时代，当那些牲畜被献上的时候，所有的牲畜都死了。
Yes, that's true. All the living sacrifice were sacrificed, then they were all dead.
但是当主耶稣基督来的时候，他把自己的身体献上，就成了一条又活又真的道路。
So when Jesus came to this world and he sacrificed himself, that became a living road.
这个真理在摩西给我们启示，在耶稣基督身上我们看见完全。
So this truth was revealed to us through Moses.And it was completely in Jesus.
所以当我们走在这样奉献的道路的时候，绝对不是一条死路。
So when we walk on this road of sacrifice, it's not a dead end road.
相反的，它会不断的燃烧。
Actually, it will be continuously burning.
可是却不会烧毁。
But not consumed.
烧到最后永不会烧焦。
And it will not be burned like charcoal.
除了把自己献给神，第二方面，我们应当把第一的最好的献给神。
And although besides this sacrifice as a living sacrifice, we should give God the best.
至于什么是你我最好的呢？
What is the best in your life?
神对每一个人有不同的引导。
God have different leading on this point.
寡妇奉献了她两个小钱。
This widow, she sacrificed her two pennies.
撒该需要四倍归还她欠别人的。
Zacchaeus had to return a fourfold.To all those he was indebted to.
可是那青年官，耶稣却对他说：“你要丢弃所有，放弃所有的，来跟从我，并且把那些分给穷人。”
But Jesus told this young official that he should sell all his property and then give it all to the poor.
做管家，管家的事工，神所要求我们的第三方面是十分之十，不是十分之一的奉献。
To be a steward, you have to sacrifice 100%, not 10%.
我们在人身上，我们所拥有的，好像是神为我们在地上开一个银行。
What we own on this earth, just like God opened an account on us on the earth.
神把给我们的钱替我们存在银行里面。
God give us money, so He put it in the bank for us.
所以这个仓库是让我来管理。
This warehouse was controlled by me.
神永远是在收入栏。
God is in the receiving end.
我们永远是在支出栏。
We are always in the expenses lane.
什么时候我们用错了钱？
And whenever we use the wrong thing.
什么时候我们就会因为我们在这个神给我们的这个储蓄金库里面，我们会感到罪恶感。
So we will feel guilty on that point.
所以我们必须要明白，在地上的财。地上的金钱不是我们的财宝。
So we have to realize that all we own on this earth is not our wealth.
财产不过是天上的附托而已。
And this is also the heavenly give it to you.
所以什么是管家呢？
What is a steward?
管家不是奉献十分之一，不是奉献十分之二。
The steward is not going to sacrifice 10 or 20%.
那是一个更严肃的问题，是百分之百，是十分之十。
It's more serious. It's 100%.
第四方面需要重视给的品格。
The fourth point is to realize the character of the conduct of the steward.
首先当然是需要甘心乐意的给。
The first one is to give willingly.
格林多后书九章七节说，个人要随本心所酌定的，不要作难，不要勉强，因为捐得乐意的人是神所喜悦的。
In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7 it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7, sorry. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver.
第二方面是有计划的给。
The second point is give it in a plan.
保罗的意见是每逢七日的第一日，个人要照自己的进项抽出来。
Paul's suggestion was you have to make it a budget and give it willingly.
如果有人需要引导来帮助他，应当怎么样开始奉献多少
？And if somebody needs some guardians, how to how much to give?
十分之一是一个开始。
10% is only a start.
但如果把十一当作一个律法，那是一个危险的记号。
If you take a look at this 10% as a commandment, then there's a danger there.
第三，学习牺牲的给。
The third one, try to give sacrificially.
马其顿的教会在奉献的事上，他们是牺牲的。保罗说他们是按着力量，同时也是过了他们的力量。
The church in Macedonia, it was they are really giving the love gift.
对那
already passed their limit.
对那奉献两个小钱的寡妇来说，那小钱是她的牺牲的给。
About this two, the widow that gave two pennies, that's all she had.
第四方面是暗中的给。
The fourth to give it secretly.
主耶稣也这样教导我们：你们要小心，不可将善事行在人的面前，故意叫人看见，因为这样子的话就不能得我们在天父那里的赏赐。
And Jesus warned us that if we should be really careful to give it secretly, otherwise we lose the heavenly reward.
主耶稣进一步讲说，如果你们在施舍的事是行在暗中，你父在暗中查看，就必然报答你。
If you do this thing in a secret place, and your heavenly Father will watch you secretly, then he will reward you.
所以这是一个账户的问题。神在地上为我们除了一个账户。
This is an account. God opened an account for us on earth.
神要看我们怎么样来使用这个账户。
God will like to know how we will deal with this account.
神给我的这个账户，我们都用在哪里呢
？What are we going to spend all this money?
你我对这个进账，对这个支出都满意吗
？Are you and I satisfied with all our expenses?
你觉得神会满意吗？
Do you think God will be satisfied?
每一年我们是否都有简单的记录，告诉我们在支出的范围到底有哪些事情
？So every time when we are giving out, where are we giving out to?
我们是否有每一年来比较看看，我在这一些经营管理的事上是否有哪些进步跟改变
？Do we compare it annually so that we have some improvement in this monetary contribution?
第七方面是团契事工。
The seventh area is fellowship ministry.
那因着时间关系，我把团契摆到第四堂，有一个有相关联的，我在那里解释。
Because of time limitation, I would like to put this in the last workshop.
所以在进入第二段以前，我们再来复习一下。
So before we enter the second place, we will review it once more.
这是用几个简单的字来为它做一个定义。崇拜是人与神之间的对话。
We try to define it in a simple words. Worship, what is worship? The conversation between man and God.
传道是分解并应用神的话。
What is preaching? Preaching is to explain or apply the word of God.
教导是滋润并且坚固信徒的信仰。
What is teaching? Teaching is to strengthen the belief of believers.
Nurture 也是很重要的。医治是身心灵的恢复与痊愈。
What is healing? Healing is the body, soul, and spirit, the recovery.
布道是为神做灵救魂以及得人传人的工作。
What is evangelism? Evangelism is to tell the other people about this saving knowledge of God.
管家是身心灵全然为主。
What is a steward? A steward is You would like to sacrifice your whole self to God.
团契是人与人之间的关怀。
What is a fellowship? Fellowship is a fellow, the caring between human beings.
那在这个中间，我们谈过很多的一些如何来做的事情。
And between this, we have talked a lot about what we should do.
很快的，我要进到第二个 在圣经中间，除了圣经使命，我们还有一个地域性的或者是短暂性的现实性的所谓的文化使命。
And we also have a cultural mission.
文化使命是比较客观的。
It's an objective.
那在华人教会在北美，到底我们从这个有限的时空中间，神给华人教会在北美有什么样的特殊性呢？
What does God give us in America, the Chinese church, what is its calling?
第一方面是文化语言身份的特殊
的
特殊性，或者是我们在文化语言身份的保存。
We try to reserve our culture, our language.
圣经一方面告诉我们，无论是希利尼人，无论是化外人，无论是犹太人，我们都没有分别，在基督里面合而为一了。
So in the Bible it tells us no matter you are Hebrew or Greek or a Gentile, it's all in God, we are united in one.
但在启示录二十一章又说到，两次提到地上的各国必将自己的荣耀带进圣城。
And also in Revelation chapter 21 it says all those tribes ofPeople, they are bringing their own glory into the holy city.
你我的语言，我们的生活习惯，我们的社会体系，我们的身份，都是整个文化的产品。
Your language, your culture, all is a product of culture.
所以我们没有办法离开这个文化来谈文化的架构，谈到侍奉。
So we cannot leave this culture thing and talk about the cultural structure.
因为那是神给各族不同人的特殊性。
Because this is what God gave us every tribe, the characteristic of every tribe.
也为此缘故，现代的宣教学者在这方面有很深入的观察跟体会。
Because of this, then the modern missiologists they have long observed that.
所以
observed that.
这个 Dr. McGavin 他提到说，人们喜欢在不必要越过文化、越过社会、越过语言的障碍来成为基督徒。
So men do not have to overcome the cultural difference in order to become a Christian.
另外一个伟大的宣教家 Alan Tippett,
another great missiologist, Alan Tippett.
他也说，文化为整个教会的宣教事工划定了界限。
The culture has already drawn a line for the cultural ministry.
另外一位 C.H. Craft.
Another person, C.H. Craft.
他讲到几件很深入的问题。
He talked about in depth things.
他说，圣经中的神并不敌视任何的文化。
The Bible, the God of the Bible, never overlook another culture.
相反的是透过人类的文化形式来工作。
And on the other side, he works through the cultures.
同时文化的形式提供了基督教福音的传递。
And also because of this culture, then it establishes a major point there.
以至于基督教的福音需要在合适的文化形态下来表达它的真理。
So that the cultural difference will become the important thing in a mission.
因着他这样的推演，他最后结论说，悔改跟韧性是在文化里面产生的。
So when you repent and you want to believe, that is under your culture.
所以只要我们是有这种语言文化身份的特殊性，我们华人教会在北美就有神给我们特殊的那个使命。
So because of this culture, then God gave us a special mission under our culture.
第二方面是我们身体肤色的不可变性。
The second thing is unchangeability of your skin or culture.
有一位普渡的心理学博士毕业生。
Purdue PhD graduate said,
当他写论文的时候，他提供给我一篇文章。
When he was writing his thesis, he gave me an essay.
那里面提到一个故事。
And in there was a story that was mentioned.
说到在芝加哥一个美国的有名的社会学家叫 Thomas Kaufman.
And in Chicago, there was a very famous sociologist.
他做了一个实验。
He had aExperiment.
他是一个白人教授。
He's a white professor.
在芝加哥讲学。
Teaching in Chicago.
有一天他就化妆成一个黑人。
One day he pretended, he put some makeup on and pretended he's a black man.
坐上一个公共汽车。
So he climbed up, he took a bus.
他虽是一个道地的白人，但对黑人的文化语言有深入的研究。
although he's a Caucasian, but he had learned a lot about the black people's culture.
所以他就跟司机跟左右的乘客谈话。
So he started to talk to the people that around him.
他们多半是白人。
Most of them were Caucasian.
但没有人可以识破他。
But nobody knew that he was a white Caucasian.
每个人都用对待黑人的态度来和他讲话。
So everybody treated him as a black man.
这个经验使他体会到做白人跟黑人实在是不一样。
So at that experiment, he experienced that it's a big difference between a Caucasian and a black person.
后来他就下了公车。
So later on, he took off from the bus.
另外又上了另一辆公车。
And then he took another bus.
这一次除了皮肤还是维持黑色以外，他的谈吐完全变成白人。
At that time, although his skin was still black, but his conversation was really a Caucasian style.
他的声调、他的谈话内容都是白人的语气。
What he talked like and his attitude, it was like a Caucasian.
他尽量可能用他的行为、用他的表达、用他的言语来让别人看出来他是一个白人。
He will try really to reveal himself as a Caucasian.
但所有的人仍然把他当黑人看待。
So many people still look at him as a black man.
无论他怎么样强调他非黑人的特质。
No matter how hard he emphasized he's not a black man,
周围的人仍然是视而不见。
All those people around him, although they see it, but they don't know it.
所以他觉得非常的无助。
So he really felt helpless.
也许对一个华人或者华人的第二代、第三代，你说我不是黑人。
Although you may tell a Chinese or even the second or third generation, I'm not a black person.
但情形是一样的。
But it's the same theory.
无论你变得怎么样像白人。
Although you can change it very close to a Caucasian.
你我仍然是黄皮肤的东方种。
So you and I are still the yellow skin, yellow race.
那当然这个例子不是故意要凸显在种族之间的不平衡或者歧视。
Although this does not want to show you that this imbalance between the races.
这例子只是要告诉我们，我们应当要学习接受那肤色的不可变性。
We really have to accept the unchangeability of your skin color.
要接受这是从神而来的一个礼物。
You have to accept it as a gift from God.
不管我们喜欢或者不喜欢。
Although we like it or we don't like it.
我们要学习感谢神。
We will learn how to praise God.
在旧约时代，上帝拣选以色列人成为世界的光。
In the Old Testament, God chose the Jewish people.To be the light of the world,
要他们在世界里面成为众族的一个典范，从他们身上看见有一神上帝的信仰。
They God would like have them to set up an example as the light of the world.
摩西拣选和他的百姓在埃及一同受苦，也不愿意在王宫里面享受一切的荣华富贵。
Moses chose to suffer with his people, and he was not willing to enjoy the.Lifestyle in the palace.
如果你继续看圣经，底波拉。
If you keep on reading the Bible, like Deborah,
基甸、
基甸、
大卫、
David、
以斯帖、
Esther、
尼希米、
尼希迈、
但以理、
Daniel，
不管他们人性的里面，可能就是他们人性里面有罪恶性的一面。
Although they may still have the sin that their history,
但他们仍然透过认同自己的种族、自己的百姓来成为表达他们的信仰。
But they choose to be their own people and show their light.
他们愿意为自己的同胞骨肉来受苦，甚至受死。
They were willing to sacrifice even to give up their life for their own people.
再看保罗。
Take a look at Paul.
虽然他宣称是被召成为外邦的使徒。
Although he was called to be the Apostle of the Gentiles,
但是他每次讲话总以我是一个犹太人自居。
And every time when he talked, he is talking like a Jew.
一个身份的问题如何解决，绝对不会因为我们与美国文化认同就解决了。
The problem of identification is not if you are like an American, you think you are American, that can solve it.
也不会因为我们与中国的文化来认同就解决了。
And it cannot be solved as you agree that you are a Chinese.
如果我们相信基督信仰的人更深入的想，
if we believers, we would like to think more deeply.
这已经不是一个社会性的问题，更是一个神学的问题。
It's not a societal problem is a theological problem.
华人中间有一个教授叫陈继民。
There's a Chinese theological professor by the name Dr. Qipeng Tan.
那他在一篇文章《双重文化冲击中的华人教会》里面有一句话，我觉得很感动。
And he had an essay talking about the impact on two cultures.
他说每一个人应当活出与福音相称的生活。
He said everyone should live out like a balance to the gospel.
并且带出耶稣基督的见证。
And also bring forth the sample of Jesus Christ.
请仔细听这句话。
And please listen this very carefully.
决定基督徒生活的不应该只是种族的。
To decide a Christian's lifestyle is not your culture.
不应该只是个人的。
Not only your personality.
应该是基督和他的福音。
It should be Christ and his gospel.
所以我们有东方的黄皮肤种，但是却有神给我们属天国民、属天国度的这种概念。
So we are, God give us a yellow skin and we can live out the light of heaven.
无论你我要怎样来认同，
No matter how you and I can agree with the
中心的问题是我们应该很认真的来思考回答这些问题。
The central point is we have to think this seriously and answer them seriously.
我是谁？
Who am I?
我现在在这里做什么？
What am I doing here?
我一生终极目标是什么？
What is my ultimate goal for my life?
在属神的国度中间，我可以贡献些什么？
In the kingdom of God, what can I give up for?
这是一个根基。
This is the foundation.
只有等这些确立了以后，我们才不容易在这个世界中间被这些文化背景、种族各方式来把我们飘荡吹动。
So if we can be rooted in these things, then we will not be moved around by this world.
神在北美华人教会中间给我们第三种特殊性的事工，是看见广大的移民和学生事工。
The third thing is God let us see the we have seen a lot of new immigrants come here and the students.
华人移民是一部沧桑史。
It's a sad story about the Chinese immigration.
早期在19世纪中叶以后。
During the middle of the 19th century,
华人多数是金矿的工人、煤矿的工人、新竹铁路的工人。
The Chinese are basically there are three types: the railroad people, the miners.
事实上，这些人都在北美曾经贡献这一片土地。
So they already sacrificed to this land.
然而，他们却在早期被称为 Yellow Peril。
So in the earlier time, they were called the Yellow Peril.
在1882年
In 1882,
美国有反华运动。
America has the anti-Chinese movement.
所以他们就把一些人可以驱逐回去了，就回到各国，回到国家，回到国内去了。
So if they can kick them out, they will kick them out to their own country.
如果有一些人留下来了，
So some of them remain behind.
这些人就受到在当地的欺负。
Then they are discriminated against at the local society.
我们知道 Chinatown 是怎么来的吗？
Do you know what how a Chinatown was formed?
就在那个时候，这些人为了要自卫，要彼此帮助，所以他们就集中在一起，就所谓的 Chinatown 就这样形成。
So when that time when they were facing persecution, they gathered together, then they formed Chinatown.
他们找不到工作。
They could not find their own work.
当地的社会不愿意雇佣他们。
At that time, the local society not want to hire them.
所以他们就只好自己来做生意、做买卖，自己供应食物，自己来聘请自己。于是 Chinatown 就这样逐渐的繁荣起来。
So then they have to hire themselves, and then they supply their own food, and then that's how Chinatown was formed.
1943年，这个反华运动的条约解除了。
So in 1943, this anti-Chinese movement was.Disbanded.
慢慢华人的第二代、第三代、第四代开始进入医界、工业界、技术界、科学界。
And then the Chinese immigrants, the second, the third, the fourth generation, were infiltrated into all kinds of society.
1949年，国民党在大陆沦陷到台湾，共产党就统治了大陆。
In 1949, the 国民党 they escaped to, from China mainland.And the communists take over in China mainland.
在当时有一批所谓的难民学生就从国内移到美国来。
At that time, there was a refugee students. They immigrated from China mainland to America.
那这些学者学人加上第二代第三代比较慢慢在中间社会出头的人就开始从 Chinatown 移到这个外围的城市。
So at that time the scholars, the students, they moved from Chinatown to the outside world.
在1965年
In 1965,
国会废止了原来原出生国配额制的这个制度。
And then the Congress abandoned the national born status.
所以在东半球的每一个国家都可以每年有两万的移民名额。
So in the eastern hemisphere there can be 20,000 quotas.
所以这个人数就增加得很快。
So the people were increased very largely.
华人的人口从1950年差不多15万一直到现在90年160几万。
The Chinese population from 1950 there were only 150,000 to 1990 it was 1.6 and a half million.
在80年到90年是加倍的成长。
And it was double during the decades of 80s and 90s.
其他有很多的因素，面对香港的97，面对台湾的移民，以及在前不久六四的政策通过的8万到10万的大陆中国学生。
There are a lot of reasons there, from the June 4th movement, from the 1997 Hong Kong movement, and also some other like the there were about 1 million people from China mainland because of the June 4th movement.
根据人口学家的统计，照这种速度增加，不需要到2000年，华人在北美要突破220万以上。
So at some people estimated around 2000 years, the people will be up to about 2.2 million.
那这些人慢慢的留下来以后，产生了一些问题。
Although these people they remain behind and they created certain problems.
移民的心态。
What are the mentalities of these people?
学生的适应。
Well, how can they fit into this society?
小留学生的问题。
Those people who study overseas.
如果你在芝加哥附近，你就看见老年人、老人的华人老化的问题。
You can see the elderly people in around Chicago area, all their problems.
甚至我们住在 Indianapolis， 你也慢慢发觉有一些家庭，他的父母亲来了，没有伴，他们慢慢年纪大了。可是却不是一个合适他们生活的地方。
You also in Indianapolis, we had such a problem that the students, their parents came and they felt that they don't fit into this society.
这些资料都不容易找，我特别把这个资料找出来的。
This information is very hard to find, but I find them anyway.
从81年开始，大陆的学生慢慢的增加，到三年前超过台湾的学生。
The student from China mainland is increasing very gradually. 3 years ago, they are more than the Taiwanese student.
在90年，台湾、香港跟中国大陆加起来差不多将近17%，将近20%。
In 1990, Hong Kong and Taiwan add together, they are about 37%，
一个8.6%，一个八，一个2.9%。那这是90年的资料。
That's the information of the 1990.
所以每一年将近这个还不算东南亚的一些新加坡啦、马来西亚的一些华人学生。
And this number does not include the students from Singapore and Malaysia.
面对着这么大的问题
，facing such a big problem，
你说华人教会在北美的这种重要性大不大？
See how important is a Chinese church in America.
我提这些资料是要让我们感觉那种迫切性。
I brought to you this information because then you can feel the urgency there.
神在圣经中让我们看见那七种基本的圣经的命令，也让我们看见这些我们的一些需要附上的一些地理性的特殊的一些命令。
God let us know the necessity.So that how we can do it in order to fulfill God's will.
因为我在写论文的缘故，我前不久读了这个 Fuller Seminary 一个在做 Missiology Doctor Degree 的一个叫 Samuel Chow 的论文。
Because of I'm doing my own research, Not too long ago, I read a PhD candidate, his thesis.
那他是谈到北美的在这里，华人在这里做的预备到底成果如何？
So what his thesis was talking about is what is the result of all this preparation?
他的结论有三点。
What he concluded in three areas.
他说华人的移民移进来的速度远远超过华人教会可以掌握的速度。
So the Chinese immigration, they already more than the Chinese church can know how to plan to do it.
第二，他提到华人教会全体还没有预备好要来接受所有这些移民所产生的问题、特殊的需要。
And also the Chinese church was, they are not ready to accept these immigrants.And then necessary arrangement.
第三，他的结论说，华人教会到目前还做得仍然不够适切。
And also the Chinese church is not doing what they should be doing.
我想这个专题其中有一个重要的因素，要帮助我们看见，在这个广大的需要，上帝给我们圣经的命令以及文化命令。我今天在这样处的环境中间，我们可以做些什么
？So what should we do? What can I do in order to fulfill God's will among the Chinese immigrants?
第四方面，更不要谈到第二代、第三代的华人后裔的福音工作。
Not necessary to talk about the third or the fourth generation, the Chinese population's evangelism.
如果你我第一代在北美华人的社会中间，或者美国圈子里面受了一点气，我们还可以在华人中间谈谈话、嗑嗑瓜子，大家笑一笑就过了。
If we are persecuted by the Caucasians, then we can talk about it among us.And then we can just don't think more about it.
你在工作的时候
，When you are at work，
我相信同事多数是友善的。
I think most of your co-workers are very friendly.
但多数人的经验告诉我，他们很难跟白人有深入的相交。
But many people told me that they cannot have very deep relationship with Caucasians.
在社会的场合，他们常常坐立不安，总感觉应该这个宴席赶快。结束，赶快退席，可以早早结束最好。
Some people thought, well, maybe this banquet should be ended long time ago.
美国朋友把我们当作被关心的对象，当然是很好。
American friends they talk about us as a center of being concerned.
所以每次谈话的内容都是限于我们所熟悉的台湾、中国。
So every time when we were talking to them, the point probably to Taiwan or China.
你我的一举一动都很受人注目。
They are really watching you.
如果你跟同事一起吃饭
，If you are going out lunch with your colleagues，
当你在办公室那个饭盒一打开，香味四溢的时候
，When you at your office you open up your lunchbox，
他们都觉得很有意思，很奇怪。
And they can smell the fragrance and they feel it was really.Wonderful.
可是如果你不跟他们一起去吃饭，你就在他们中间被隔离了。
If you are not going out to lunch with them, then you are separated from them.
我们若是有一些心灵的难处，比较可以在同才群中间找到花疏的余地。可是我们的第二代、第三代，他们是痛苦的。
If we have some problems, we can share with our colleague. But to the second or third generation, it's very hard.
那当然，这在北美华人教会中间，这是一个很严重的。那我们也没有做得很好才开始起步的一个工作，关心 ABC 的问题。
So we are not doing a good job in taking care of the ABC's problem.
教会需要在这些层面开始注意，怎么样栽培领袖。
So the church should look after these questions. How you to establish the church leader?
当他们在预备这个专题的时候，说要翻成广东话，我说不，我们应当翻成英文。
At the beginning of this, they say that it should be interpreted into Cantonese as no into English.
因为在这样的大的 conference 里面，我觉得在英语的部分真的是受到忽略。
I would say in such a big conference, the English part was neglected.
所以像我们江弟兄可以这样来翻译，是我们在人才栽培中间应当重视的。
Just like the interpreter can do this job, it should be provided in among all our churches.
教会尽量使用第二种语言。
The church should try to their best to use the second language.
既然在美国生根，我们的下一代就需要英文，所以我们需要为他们提供跟我们同样可以享受那个权利跟义务的一些侍奉。
In order for them to be rooted in the American society, We should really look into the second language.
在整个组织跟行政中间，像让这些讲英文的同伴们，可以同工们一起参与。
So that when in a such a big conference, and the English co-workers can work side by side.
在我自己的教会，我们的同工群里面有两位，现在是三位是讲英文的。
And in our church, there are at least 2 to 3 co-workers. They talk English.
对我们其他的七位同工来讲，要讲英文真是很别扭。
If the rest of the 7 co-workers they have to talk English, it's very hard for them.
但这是一个学习跟开始，彼此体谅。但是我们讲中文的，用英文来和他们沟通，在开会的时候一起用英文。
So we have to communicate with them, so everybody talk English in the meeting.
这是神给我们在北美华人教会看见的，我们可以来投资的这样的一个大的一个方向。
So this is what God wants us to see in America.And have us to invest in them.
我们可以做什么呢
？What can we do?
第四堂，我也摆在第四堂来讲。
I will put it in the fourth workshop. Now I will go into the second period, a second topic.
要完成这么大的一个事工，跟属灵的恩赐是节节相关的。
It's very closely related to the spiritual gift in order to extend with this kind of ministry.
十九世纪以后有所谓的宣教运动，有所谓的灵恩运动。那我相信二十世纪现在。仍然继续在澎湃的应该是一个比较正统的有深度的灵恩有深度的这个恩赐神学运动。
In the 19th century there was a student missionary movement and also in the early part of 20th century there was a charismatic movement. So and this 20th, the end of the 20th century,I think there should be some theology in that movement.
当灵恩运动重在方言，重在举手的祷告、歌唱、敬拜那种很自由的这种敬拜的内容，非常的好。但是我觉得那个还不够深入。
When the charismatic movement, when they were going on, they were raising up their hands and singing in spirit and things like that. But I think it's not in depth.
那接下来我要谈到六篇讲章。
Also, I would like to mention you 6 sermons.
那这是。从神学跟圣经的角度来看，到底应当属灵的恩赐在圣经中间给我们的教导跟启示是什么
？So in this, we can look at what is the revelation of God to us in this in the Bible.
你我都很清楚，属灵的恩赐在圣经里面有六段的经文：哥林多前书12章、13章、14章、以弗所书4章、罗马书12章以及彼得前书4章。
Okay, talking about spiritual gift, there are 6 places.In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13 and 14, Romans chapter 12, 1 Peter chapter 3.
因为每一段经文都有它的时代背景，都有它在探讨它的目的的本身的内容，以及它的经文的上下文。
So every portion of that scripture has its cultural difference and also the...At that time, different time.
So, 我们需要从作者当时所针对的问题是什么去了解。
So we will have to look at what the author was pointing at the problem at that time.
我们才能够比较清楚地抓到这些圣经所表达的经义。
So and then we can learn the real meaning of that portion of scripture.
首先，我们看哥林多前书12章，我们从12章开始。
Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
如果你有圣经会对你有帮助我们从这样一章一章研讨下去
So if you have your Bible handy then it will be a help to you
哥林多前书是保罗针对哥林多教会所产生的一些教会的问题一一提出原则性的解答和教导
Paul wrote this letter to Corinthians in order to help them to solve their problem in the church of Corinthians
保罗指出无论是个人或整体的问题是要弟兄姐妹愿意顺服在上帝的真理之下
So Paul point out that if you want to learn about God, then you will have to under the Spirit's guardian.
所以在这些哥林多种种诸段的问题里面，十二章到14章是针对其中的问题。
So Paul pointed out their problem at that time from chapter 12 through chapter 14.
就是弟兄姐妹应当如何按规矩运用属灵恩赐的真理教导。
So the brothers and sisters should do it according to the order of the spiritual thing.
当五旬节的时候，圣灵降下来了。
When during the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was descended down.
耶路撒冷的教会众门徒们，他们就被圣灵充满。
And all the disciples in Jerusalem, they were filled by the Holy Spirit.
按着圣灵所赐的口才，他们就说起别国的话来。
According to the gift of the Holy Spirit, they talk about another language.
后来这五旬节方言的困扰也在哥林多教会产生困扰。
Also, the speaking in tongues was brought up in the Corinthian church.
在哥林多教会。
In the church of Corinth.
在讲方言的恩赐被当时的信徒当作是一个追求的最终目标。
And speaking in tongues was considered as the ultimate gift of God.
方言代表属灵。
To speak in tongues means you are very spiritual.
会讲方言的弟兄姐妹们自然显出骄傲和自满。
So all those who can speak in tongues will show their pride and their self-satisfied.
方言的恩赐在教会中间并不是效用最大，但却是最被推崇。
Although the not the biggest result, but it was the most promoted.
这是一个本来好好的可以被神使用在教会来建造教会的恩赐，却成为教会的争端，成为众人嫉妒和属灵骄傲的一个基本的分裂原因。
So at that time, the speaking in tongues, this gift, particular gift, was also being self-boasted and some other problem.
所以你明白保罗在哥林多教会谈到恩赐的问题，他是从这个方向出发的。
So when you take a look at the problem at the Corinthian church, Paul was starting from that point.
所以为解决这个问题的困扰，他就在哥林多前书十二章提出几个原则性的教导。
So because of to solve this problem.Paul will bring up some points of solving that problem.
从一到三节，他提出第一个教导是说，基督是一切的衡量。
So in the beginning of chapter 12, he said Paul is God is everything.
保罗的意思是说，说方言不是你们才有的现象，外邦也有这个现象。
He said speaking in tongues was not only you that had such a gift, but Some other Gentile church also have the same.
在外邦民间拜偶像的宗教，他们也有这个事情的。
Also, the foreign religions, they have such phenomenon.
保罗开始就提醒哥林多信徒。
So he reminded the Corinthian Christians.
说他们有些人，中间有些人，你们还没有成为基督徒以前，你们就是这样子的。
And some of you, even before you became a Christian, you are like that.
经历过宗教的狂热。
To go into the religious cult.
很多时候有感情，极度的感情化
，and extremely emotional，
也常常有一些胡言乱语
，and some people even talk in vain。
那现在在教会同样的情况发生了
，same thing happened in that church。
要确定一个人基督教的宗教经验是否真实
，to prove that a person's Christian religion is that really true or not？
我们需要问你一个问题。
We should ask one thing.
是经文说这是否真的是上帝的灵感动的呢
？Is this really touched by the spirit of God?
因为没有人被神的灵感动，会说基督是可咒诅的。
Because nobody can touched by the spirit and say Christ be cursed.
很显然，在哥林多的教会，这个事情发生。
Very obviously, this thing happened in the Corinthian church.
真实的基督徒宗教经验是建立在基督是主的这个信仰宣告上。
So true Christian believers, they believe in Christ.
基督是一切的衡量。
Christ is everything of measurement.
只是我们口里说主啊主啊是不够的。
Although we cry out Lord, Lord in our mouth is not enough.
真正的认罪，真正的信仰告白，不是只是口里说，而是有真正的委身。
The true repentance is you have to true commit to Christ.
所以哥林多的信徒，他们醉心于方言的恩赐。
The Corinthian Christians, they are very They have this gift of speaking in tongues.
他们认为一个人若能够在聚会中说方言，愈狂妄，越来愈激动，就会被认为是愈敬虔，愈属灵。
So if a person was crazy and speaking in tongues, and they thought they was really is a very pious person.
然后保罗对他们说
，But Paul told them,
真正属灵的人，并不是那种神魂颠倒的人。
The real person that's spiritual is not the one.That's crazy in the spirit.
因为他们那样子就简直是像外邦人一样迷了心窍。
Because they are like the Gentiles, they are really stubborn in their heart.
狂乱乱舞。
They are crazy. They are cultural.
保罗的意思是一个精神正常的人绝对不会精神恍惚，属灵的人不会精神恍惚。
So a real spiritual man will be really do everything in order.
是我们信仰的内容，而不是我们外表的情绪表达。
Is what we have it inside is not the emotional show up.
保罗要信徒明白，真正 的信仰的中心应该是明白基督是主。
Paul told them that if a person really believes, he should really understand that Christ is his God.
第四节到第十一节，保罗提到圣恩赐是圣灵随己意所赐的。
From verse 4 to verse 11, the gift is what God gives according to His Spirit.
哥林多信徒认为只有一个属灵的恩赐，就是说方言。
The Christians at Corinthian Church, they really think that speaking in tongues is the only spiritual gift.
但保罗说不是如此。
But Paul said no.
于是他说有许多不同的恩赐。
Paul told them there are certain different gifts.
有许多不同的服事。
And there are different services.
有许多不同的功能。
Different functions.
但都是从同一位上帝而来。
But it's all from one God.
神把不同的恩赐分给个人。
God gives different people with different gifts.
为的是叫人得益处。
In order to have other people be advantage.
记得我自己在大学时代也有过这样的经历。
I remember I had such experience when I was a college student.
那时候在弟兄中间有一批人是专门追求属灵方言的。
So at that time there was a certain group of brothers. They were all pursuing the this spiritual gift.
So 我就受他们的影响，就一起参加追求聚会。
I was influenced by them, so I joined their meeting.
在聚会中的情形常常是这样的。
In the meeting, they were all like this.
不断的祷告，不断的寻求，不断的等候，不断的呼喊，不断的呻吟。
Non-stop of praying, non-stop of emotional expression, a lot of things.
有时候如果你求不到，可以从下午一点钟跪到六点钟，就在那里不断的祷告。
And if you cannot pursue that gift, then you can knelt there and pray from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m.
直到能说出方言来为止。
Until you can speak in tongues.
在追求的聚会中间，有时候有人会在地上就打滚。
And also during the meeting, some people may be rolling on the floor.
有时候有人就站起来在那里跳舞。
Some people may stand up and dancing.
有时候我们在祷告中，有些人就狂喊。
Some people may be yelling loudly in the prayer meeting.
等候太久。我还是没有说方言。
And when I was waiting for such a long time, I still could not speak in tongues.
有一个有恩赐的弟兄就走到我的面前。
So a certain brother that was gifted, he came to before me.
所以我们要为你按手祷告。
So we will pray for you and lay hands on you.
当我们为你按手祷告，你就可以说方言了。
So when we lay hands on you, then you can speak in tongues.
我就让他们按手祷告。
So I let them lay their hands on me.
但我告诉我们，这是保罗的第二个提醒。
This is the Paul's second warning.
方言是求来的吗？
Speaking in tongues, is it really you can pray for?
保罗说，被圣灵充满就讲方言吗？
Paul say, if you are filled by the Holy Spirit, can you speak in tongues?
保罗这里讲的是，恩赐是神照着己意分给个人的。
Paul reminds us here that the gift is what God give it to you according to His will.
保罗在经文里面只记载了我们要追求那羡慕更大的恩赐，就是做先知讲道，从来没有讲到说我们要追求方言。
Paul asked them to pursue the higher gift, which is to preach like a prophet. Not God never tell us to pursue the gift of speaking in tongues.
方言是神照着他自己的心意分赐给个人的。
The speaking in tongues gift is given to us according to God's will.
你我都不能大到一个地步可以限制圣灵的工作。
You and I cannot limit the work of the Holy Spirit.
而感谢神，圣灵也不会让你我来限制他。
And we praise God because God will not let you to limit Him.
我们的责任只是在神面前追求圣洁的生活。
What our responsibility is to pursue holiness before God.
我们的责任是在神面前追求神给我有这样的心智来服侍他，服侍教会。
So you and I can pursue how to serve Him, how to serve His will.
上帝就照着他自己的心意，在那合适的时刻需要什么样的恩赐，就在那个时刻降临。
And then God at that moment, then He will give us His gift.
所以保罗接下来就简单的介绍一些属灵的恩赐来做例子。
So Paul introduced the simple gifts as examples.
比如说智慧的言语、知识的言语、信心、行义能。先知辨别诸灵等等。
Speaking in the wisdom and word of wisdom and to discern between the spirit and things like that.
然后他就把方言放在所举的例子的最后一个。
And then he put the speaking in tongues as the last gift.
意思是要告诉我们每一个人。
What he really mean was,
至少我们都会有一个恩赐的。
At least we should have one gift.
同时这个恩赐是圣灵所分赐的。
And this gift is given by the Holy Spirit.
今天我们很多的教会在追求方言。
Today many churches are pursuing the gift of the speaking in tongues.
主要的原因是一般的教会冷冷淡淡的，没有生机。
Because most of the churches are like lukewarm.
当众教会有气无力的时候，就让这一些以为追求圣灵，让说方言好叫这个教会可以充满活力。
So when the church was lifeless.They thought that speaking in tongues may stir up their spiritual life.
但我们知道这不是正本追源。
No, this is not the right way to do it.
在第三方面，保罗提见十二节到二十七节，他提到每一个人都是重要的。
And in verse 12 through 27, Paul was reminding us that everybody was important.
所以后接下来保罗就把教会做一个身体来比喻。
Eventually, Paul set up as a body of.To be an example.
并且强调身体的每一个部分都是重要的。
And also emphasize that every part of the body is important.
而每一个人都曾从神那里领受不同的恩赐。
Because everybody will receive a different gift from God.
譬如说有教导恩赐的就做口。
Suppose if you have a teaching ministry, then you can be the mouth.
譬如有给予恩赐的就做手。
Somebody have a gift of gift.Then you can be the hand.
譬如有治理恩赐的就做心脏。
For example, if you have a ministry of ministering, then you can be the heart.
譬如有帮助恩赐的、关心恩赐的就做脚。
Suppose you have a helping ministry, then you can be the foot.
只有这些每一个部分加起来才是一个完整的。
So different parts when they function together, then that will be a complete one.
在这些事工中，没有任何一个人可以说他是不重要，也没有任何一个人说他是比其他的人重要。
Nobody say I'm more important than another person.
每一个人都需要告诉别人。
Everybody will tell everybody.
你是重要的。
You are important.
你是有价值的。
You are valuable.
你是在这个肢体建造中间所不可缺落的一环的。
You are the very important one that cannot be missed.
所以我们需要在这个鼓励的事工上，在成全、祝福、赞赏、肯定别人神所赐的那一份事上，我们需要加倍的努力。
So we should have be more encouraged in those areas that should be strengthened.
你曾经在这些事情上肯定过别人吗？
Have you encouraged in these areas for other people?
你曾经透过这样的心思去了解别人的服事，看见他们的摆上，而至终你给他们从你心中给他们的鼓励跟支持吗？
Have you encouraged them and support them their work, their ministry?
在我的人生经历中间走到今天，是因为有一些这样的人常常在旁边鼓励我、支持我，以至于我在神的服事上能够走到今日。
Where I can stand for today because a lot of people are encouraging me and helping me so that I can be what I am today.
在我大四那一年，
In my senior year as a college student,
那是一个大学的一个牧师
the campus pastor of the college.
有一天中午他带我去吃饭。
One day he brought me out for lunch.
那时候我才是一个二十岁的大学生。
At that time I was a 20-year-old college student.
但是他对我的态度好像我不仅只是一个二十岁的大学生而已。
But his attitude toward me was not like only a 20-year-old.
他告诉我说，在台湾的中部有两个乡下的教会，因为供养不起传道人的生活，说我可以去那里帮助他们。
So he encouraged me that there was in an urban village, there was two churches because they cannot afford to hire a pastor to pastor them, so I can go and help them.
我自己想想，二十岁的学生没有受过神学训练，我可以去做两个教会的牧师吗？
I was thinking to myself, I never had a seminary education. Can I be a pastor of two churches?
我知道我没有办法。
I know I cannot do it.
但是这一位成熟的长者来到一个不成熟的晚辈。
So this very mature elderly elder came to a very immature youngster.
给我鼓励跟肯定。
He verified me.Edify me, and then he encouraged me.
他说：“你有能力可以帮助这些教会。”
So you have the power to help these two churches.
正是这样一个成熟的老师进到一个不成熟的大四的学生。
So this mature teacher enter into such an immature college student.
在一个那时候的心灵，让我觉得我是一个有价值的人。
At that time, I feel that I'm a person with great value.
你让我肯定自己在神国的扩展事工上，我是会有价值的。
And also that make me ensure that I'm of value of in God's kingdom.
其实我们的主耶稣基督所做的也正是如此。
What Jesus Christ was he was doing was just like that.
他是离开那世上世界天上荣耀，来到这个卑微的地方。
He left his heavenly glory and entered into this lowly world.
他从那至高的世界来到这个卑微的世界。
He came from this highest world into this world.
把那福音的好消息告诉我们。
And to preach us the good news of the salvation.
因为对他来说，他肯定我们的价值。
To him to confirm our value.
对他来说，我们每一个人都是重要的。
To him, everybody was important.
就像约翰福音三章十六节所说的，神爱世人，甚至将他的独生子赐给他们，叫一切信他的不至灭亡，反得永生。
Just like John 3:16 tells that God loved the world, that he sent his only begotten Son to come and die for us, so that if we believe in him, we shall not perish but have eternal life.
上帝借着耶稣基督来到这个世界。
God through Jesus Christ came into this world.
不是带来纷争。
Not to bring the struggles.
不是带来毁灭。
Not to bring destruction,
而是带给我们生命。
But to bring us life.
所以我们也一样，应当学习耶稣的榜样，进到别人的生命里面去。
So we also should learn from Jesus' example to enter into other people's life.
借着鼓励，借着支持，借着肯定，借着尊重，借着关心，借着关爱，使别人能够承认、认识他们是有价值的。
Through verification, through edification, through encouragement, we can tell other people they are of value.
使他们不致丧胆。
So that they will not be discouraged.
同时能够接蒙受激励跟得到永生。
So that they will be encouraged and also gain eternal life.
就从二十八节到三十一节，保罗提到第四样，他说没有一样恩赐是每一个信徒都有的。
And also in through verse 28 through 31, every person do not have every gift.
或者说没有一个人拥有全部的恩赐。
Or in another words, not a person that owns every gift.
假如说哥林多教会宣告说方言是所有信徒受圣灵的印证。
For example, if the Corinthians Christians say, to speak in tongues is the edification of by the Holy Spirit.
如果是这样，他们错了。
If like that, they are wrong.
因为保罗说，岂都是说方言的吗？
Because Paul said, is everybody speaking in tongues?
也没有一个人拥有全部的恩赐。
And not everybody will own all the gifts.
有一些教会要求一个传道人是八般武艺，样样都要精通。
So some church may require the preacher, they are going to hire to learn every gift.
这也是不合理的。
It's unreasonable.
但是保罗在这里，他提示。
And Paul tells us here.
他说话语的事工。
The word ministry.
应当是整个教会的核心。
Should be the core of the church.
你看这些使徒见证他们传扬耶稣基督的复活。
See the apostles are witness for the Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus.
他说你看先知宣告上帝的信息。
And the prophets talk about, preach about God.
他说你看这些教师和牧师他们传讲教导上帝的话语。
And also the teachers and the preachers they preach God's word.
以至于他们设立教会，建立教会。
So they can set up the church.And build up the church.
相反的，保罗把哥林多教会认为最重要的放在最后。
Just exactly the opposite. Paul put the gift that the Corinthian Christians thought the best was he put it in the last.
目的不是要告诉他们说，方言的恩赐是不重要的，不是，乃是要指明他们，你们以为是这样的，应当是这样子的。
Paul was not trying to tell them this. The speaking in tongues is the least gift, but. He was telling them it should be like this.
他的意思是每一个恩赐都是重要的，但就功能性来说，这方言的恩赐目前并不是最需要的。
And the speaking in tongues at that time it wasn't the most important gift.
建造教会的功能性。
To build up the church function.
保罗盼望他们多注重上帝的话语。
Paul would like them to pay more attention to the word of God.
所以从十二章我们就看见保罗在这一方面属灵恩赐的教导是四个提醒。
So at this time, Paul reminds them in four areas.
第一是基督是一切的衡量。
First of all, Christ is everything.
第二是恩赐是随圣灵的旨意分给个人。
The second thing is the gift is the gift to a person according to the will of the Holy Spirit.
第三，每一个人都是重要的，同时每一个人都从神那里领受神给我们的一样或者多样的恩赐。
Every gift is the same. We receive God one or more gifts.
第四，没有一样恩赐是每一个信徒都拥有的。
For not everybody own every gift.
借着这样的途径，保罗就解释了方言的问题，为他们拿做了一个美好的解答。
So Paul solved the problem of the speaking in tongues and give them a good answer.
我还有五篇讲章。
I still have five more sermons.
这六篇是很基本的根基。
These six are really basic foundations.
我再讲一篇就好。
I will talk more, one more.
到了十三章。
To chapter 13,
保罗提到我们应当在爱中使用恩赐。
Paul reminds us to use a gift in our love.
一个教会是否能够在爱中使用恩赐？是很容易可以辨别的。
It's very easy to discern if a church can use the make good use of the love.
很显然的，哥林多教会在使用恩赐的爱心里面，他们失去了。
Very obviously, they lost the meaning of using the love gift.
所以保罗需要在十二章跟十四章中间，在十章做总结的时候，他需要用十三章来谈爱的问题。
So Paul has concluded in chapter 12.And then he mentioned about the whole chapter 13 to about love.
他盼望哥林多教会在运用恩赐教会的时候，是应当以最基本的就是爱做根基、做出发点。
So Paul would like them to use love as the starting point.
在异教的崇拜中
，in the foreign religion.
刚才提到有一种情形就是会发出很大的声音。
In one of the phenomena that mentioned in the foreign religion is to create a big noise.
那理由是要把那个睡醒的或者沉沉欲睡的众神们把它唤起来。
The real meaning of to do that is to try to awake the falling asleep idol or the god.
在异教的崇拜中，他们还有一个观念，就是如果你喊得越大声，你叫得越大声，可以把巫鬼赶走。
If you really create a loud voice, you can chase out the evil spirit.
所以当他们在这样的心境里面，他们就情绪越来越高昂，呼声也越来越大。
So they were really creating a big emotional expression.
刚才提到哥林多信徒非常看重方言，他们以讲方言是作为他们的骄傲跟属灵的标志。
And also the Corinthian Christians, they really look at the spiritual speaking in tongues as a real spiritual thing.
他们在会中也是如此。
Even among the congregation.
所以就跟外邦的这种众神信仰没有两样，他们也发出很大的声音。
So that doesn't make any difference between them and the foreign religion worshippers.
也为此缘故，保罗说，纵使能讲论所有的方言，是万国的天使并荒言，却没有爱。
So in the beginning of chapter 13, Paul said, if you can do all these religious things, if there's no love, there's nothing.
所以如果没有爱，他们所说的他们所做的那跟外邦人所做的好像就是敲鸣的锣响的拔，那吵杂的声音很大，是没有两样的。
There's no difference between them and the foreign religion worshippers.
所以这是保罗的出发的方向。
This is what Paul started.
一个说方言却不实行爱的教会，说方言是没有意义的。
If a church can speak in tongues but no love, there's no meaning at all.
对保罗来讲，更甚的就是说，你们如果这样做，这不过是异教而已，跟异教的行为方式完全相同的。
In another word, Paul was trying to tell them, if you are doing the same thing as the foreign religion worshippers, you are no difference between them.
于是接下来经文保罗就提到一些更高层次的恩赐。
So Paul, in the following verses, Paul was talking about in a higher level.
他说，譬如先知讲道。
For example, the prophet's sermon.
那这个恩赐在十四章第一节明说是所有恩赐中是信徒最当羡慕的。
And Paul encouraged them to long for that kind of gift.
比如说知识的恩赐。
For example, the gift of knowledge.
这恩赐可以使人明白一些上帝的奥秘事。
this can help other people to understand God's mysterious thing.
那这奥秘是什么呢？ 奥秘在圣经中是指那原来不知道的，现在把它显明出来的，那是奥秘。
The mysterious thing in the Bible, in a biblical sense, is original, you don't know it, but now you use a parable to explain it.
当在旧约的时代预表基督，但是基督还没有来前，那是奥秘。当基督来的时候，那奥秘已经显明了，那是最大的奥秘。
So before Christ was had come, then there was a prophecy about Christ. When Christ came, then the mysterious things was revealed.
保罗继续提到这个恩赐有行神迹的信心，
and also performing miracle power.
可以移山，
healing.
可以使不可能的变为可能，
impossible turn into possible.
保罗提到有慈悲施舍的恩赐，
and also a gift of giving.
可以将自己的给人，
what you have, you give it to other people.
譬如还有寻道的恩赐，
also being a martyr.
这恩赐也可以将自己的生命置之度外，为神国的国度事工来燃烧焚烧自己。
Also you want to give to God as a burning sacrifice.
所以保罗列举的这些恩赐，同样的，他说这些恩赐比方言的恩赐在层次上都要较高。
So this kind of gifts are much higher than the speaking in tongue gift.
但即使如此，
although it was like that,
保罗还是一样的 提到，如果在这些恩赐在使用的时候没有爱，一切都算不了什么，都是无益的。
If they use this gifts not in love, everything will be in vain.
有一次，主耶稣对法利赛人和文士说，
Once Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the scribes.
说你们这些假冒伪善的人有祸了。
You hypocrites, you woe to you.
你们将这个芹菜、将薄荷、将 琴香献上十分之一。
You sacrifice 10% of all you have, all these material gifts.
可是那律法上所讲的更重要的是，就是公义、怜悯、信实，你们倒不去行。
But the most important things in the laws, you do not do it.
哥林多教会就是落在同样的境况之中。
The Corinthian church was falling into the same trap.
他们在属灵的恩赐争辩的时候，他们忘了爱是运用所有恩赐中间最重要的媒介。
They forgot about the love is the most important thing should be applied to every area.
在旧约时代，
in the Old Testament time,
大卫在旷野逃难的时候，
when David was in refuge in the wilderness,
有一次来到亚杜兰洞，
So one day he was in a certain cave.
非利士人在四围安营监视他。
The Philistines were setting their camps around him.
那是大卫口渴。
At that time he was thirsty.
他甚至有人能够将伯利恒城门旁的那个井里面的水打出来给他喝。
He was telling people he really wished somebody would go to a Bethlehem, to a certain well, and draw the water from there for him to drink.
所以有三个勇士没有让大卫知道，就偷偷的去了。
So there were three warriors that did not let David know, and they secretly went.
他们闯过非利士人的营区。
So they break through the line of the Philistines.
来到伯利恒旁的井旁，来拿水给大卫。
So they draw some water. They drew some water from that well and brought it to David.
当大卫知道这个事情以后，
when David knew this thing,
他不敢喝。
He did not dare to drink it.
他就把水献在耶和华面前。
So he made it as a sacrifice to God.
他说神啊，
he said, God,
我断不敢喝这水。
I did not dare to drink this water.
因为这个水是他们冒生命危险打来的。
This was they risked their own life and then they drew it for me.
这个水好像是他们的血一样，我不敢喝。
This water just like the blood, I dare not to drink it.
这杯水是一个最大的礼物。
This water was a big gift to David.
对大卫来说，这是一个何等不容易的，在他生命中间是一个难忘的礼物。
To David, it was an unforgettable gift.
因为是爱里面产生的结晶。
Because this is Chris created in the love.
世界伟人拿破仑，
The world famous person Napoleon.
他有一个美丽的妻子。
He had a very beautiful wife.
Josephine. 有一次，他就买一个很贵重的后冠。
So one day he bought a real valuable 什么东西？
皇冠，后冠。
Crown.
他这个后冠是用翡翠跟800颗钻石镶嵌成的。
And that crown was made up of a lot of precious stones.
价值连城。
Very, very expensive.
但是这并不是他心里面爱慕他的皇后而表达的心意。
But this is not what he tried to express to her, what he loved her.
只因为国王不愿意把他自己献给他的皇后，他就用这样来代替。
So he did not want to sacrifice himself to the queen, so he used a crown to do it instead.
那你知道这个历史，后来他就跟他的妻子离婚了。
So you know that later on he divorced his wife.
爱能够使一杯水，不论在何时都是无价的。
The love can make a cup of water, no matter what time, to make it really valuable.
而如果缺少爱，即使是价值连城、无价的后冠，也可以成为最廉价而低俗的东西。
So just like this crown, it could be because of no love, it could be become very valueless thing.
在哥林多教会用方言恩赐的问题正是如此。
In the Church of Corinthians, because of the misuse of the gift of speaking in tongues, it was like that.
在他们认为重要的，但在没有爱心的情况之下，是什么也没有用的。
What they think was important, but because of no love, no matter what time they use it, it's really less.
使用恩赐的时候，动机是重要的。
When you use your love, use your gift, the motivation is very important.
一个正确的态度要比恩赐的本身或者恩赐要造成的果效更为重要。
The right attitude is very important to use the gift.
已经三点半了是吧？
Yeah.因为三点
哦，我的表是印第安纳时间
哦，难怪
我三点要主持那个问题解答
呀， yeah, 所以已经三点半，哎，是三点半开始，
三点一刻，问题解答三点半，
对呀， yeah, 所以我们应该上会，
好，那我就停在这里，
好 ，we'll stop here，
那我。下一堂我把十四章讲完，因为十四章是一个总结，如果没有十四章的总结，可能我们还连不起来。
So we will conclude chapter 14 and then we can bind them together.
那十四章总结以后，我想我就跳过三章，如果你们想听以后有机会，那我就明天继续讲这个接下去的，我则会赶不上。
Yeah, we will continue tomorrow.
好，我们来祷告。
Let's pray.
父神，你教导我们谦卑。
Dear Heavenly Father, you teach us humble.
还我们所有的都是你自己恩典的结果。
What we have is the result of your grace.
帮助我们。
Help us.
把你给我们的那小小的一份当作五饼二鱼。
So that we can give you as a fish and a bread.
可以拨开成为众人的祝福。
To break it and become the gift of a lot of people.
我们虽然卑微。
Although we are no value.
但是在你的眼中我们却是有价值的。
But in your eyes we are valuable.
愿你帮助我们众弟兄姐妹。
So that you can help us, brothers and sisters.
不但认识属灵恩赐。
Not only to know about the gift spiritual kingdom.
当我们继续在一起勉励分享这圣经真理的时候。
So that when we share the biblical knowledge.
继续开我们的心窍。
So that you will open our heart.
叫我们能够进入你真理的里面。
So that we can enter your truth.
我们这样祷告祈求，是奉耶稣基督的圣名。
So we pray in the name of Lord Jesus.
Amen.